I.B. Hurton phone conference line.
Good morning, good morning. It's time to meet the morning. Good morning, good morning to you. Good morning.
Good morning, Ronnie.
Buddy?
Yes, that's it. How are you today?
Good. Just getting ready, preparing for today's call. Getting ready.
We're on, doing some exercises.
Yeah.
Get that
ready
preparation.
To go to Williams tomorrow?
Well, I'm planning on it. I'm still working on getting a ride.
Oh, yeah. It's sold out already. I can't believe it.
I imagine so. I have my tickets, but I just need to get a ride.
Right.
Got a couple possibilities going.
Yeah. Somebody should be coming down from up that way. I don't know.
Well, there are a number of people, but the cars have kind of gotten full. I thought I might have an extra person, and I hadn't committed to which way. So meanwhile, things filled up.
Yeah.
So, but there are some other people in Everett that I think are going to be available, but it's not been planned out definitely yet.
Yeah.
Good morning. It's Joan.
Morning,
good morning,
Joan. This is Monty.
Hi, buddy.
Doug's on the line with us too, and he's exercising.
Oh, good for you, Doug. It's high time.
Well, I was, and now.
I'm just kidding you.
Well, another Friday, another end of the week. Isn't that exciting?
Yes.
Yes. I don't know, for me, I don't know what the difference is between Monday and Saturday, or the other day I thought it was Sunday.
Oh, I get confused, and you know, as to what day it is, and I kind of laugh because one of the first questions as a psychologist, when you want to know somebody's mental state, you ask them what their name is, and then you ask them what the date is, what the day or date or anything like that. And I thought, boy, you know, I hope I don't ever get to the hospital in this state.
That'd be a great subject for that. Yeah, well, it's 7 o'clock, so I'd like to welcome, I guess, each and every one of you to the call today that's here with me. Just let me do something here for just a second. You ready out there in good old, I would say TV land, but I think I should probably say telephone land, mobile land, whatever. I'd like to welcome each and every one of you to the call here on Friday, January the 4th. I'd like to welcome each and every one of you here and to know that one of the things that are so important is that we, as far as the welcome each and every one of you, I should say. I'm kind of frustrated here this morning, I guess, and to the call, and whether you're on the landline or whether you're driving down the road or whether you're on the WebEx. Find the WebEx. Okay, I lost it for some reason. You know, I don't think I even signed into the WebEx. Oh, no. Oh, well, whatever. Again, welcome you all. So, by the way, this is here, so we've come up with some new things that we're going to be doing this year, particularly in regards to call. On Monday, Mary Lou is going to be talking about toxins and how they're not beneficial to our health, I'm sure. Tuesday, Nancy Gilmer from Houston, Texas area is going to talk about the endocrine system. And on Wednesday, Ruth is going to be talking about our mind and different things and ways to look at that as far as goals and sanity. Thursday, Donna is going to be talking about Nika Nutritionals. She's going to be taking a product a week, a day, talking about that particular product. And then, of course, on I'll be with you on Fridays, where I'll be talking pretty much about foods and types of groups of foods or whatever. And also, we're going to be joined this year by Joan, who's going to be possibly talking about some juicing. There's some specs that are good. So we're kind of excited all about that. So we'll just kind of get started here. But today my subject is food, and I'd just like to talk about that. And you know, when I started to research food as a subject, I really didn't realize all the different avenues and aspects. So what we'll do is we'll go ahead and get started here. But basically, food is nothing more than a substance, and it is consumed to provide nutritional support for the body. We all know that if we don't eat the right food, we don't have the energy that our body needs. It is usually a plant, or it's some kind of an animal origin, and contains essential nutrients, and we know those to be such as things as carbohydrates, fats, proteins, vitamins, or minerals. We also know that we ingest the substance, for the purpose of assimilating by the organisms in our cells in an effort to produce energy, maintain life, or stimulate growth. And that's one of the main reasons for basically food. But historically, people secured food through basically two methods, and we know them as hunting and gathering, and also that food was made available to us through agriculture. But unfortunately, today, most of the food energy consumed by the world population is supplied by the food industry. In other words, most of it is all processed food. It goes through some sort of a process, which in most situations is not good, and they change foods into other things that we don't recognize that in it, and of course that's why they have ingredients on the labels. We also know that food safety and food security are monitored by agencies of different governments around the world, and they address issues such as sustainability, biological diversity, they eliminate change, nutritional economics, population growth, water supplies, and access to food. And one of the things I didn't realize, but that food is basically a right, and the right to food is a human right derived from the International Covenant on Economics, Social, and Cultural Rights, recognizing the right to adequate standard of living, including adequate food, as well as fundamental right to be free from hunger. I didn't realize that the food was determined by these agencies as a right for us here in the world. That's what they found out. One of the other things is that food sources, and how do we get our food? Where does our food come from? Basically, most of the food that we ingest in our bodies comes from plants, and some food is obtained directly from plants, but even animals that are used as food sources raised by feeding them are derived basically from plants. And when I thought about that, I realized, well, I guess if the cow doesn't eat grass or grain or hay, and none of that would be available, there would be no milk, no meat, no eggs, all that sort of stuff. So we don't realize that basically the other types of foods that we ingest basically come to us because of grains and cereals and, you know, like maize and wheat and rice and all of the varieties. And those varieties account for 87% of all grain production worldwide. Most of the grain that is produced worldwide is fed to livestock. And, of course, we hear that a lot about all the livestock that consume so much of our grain and water and things like that. Some foods not from animal or plant sources include various edible fungi, and we know them such as especially mushrooms. Fungi are ambient bacteria, are used in the preparation of fermented and pickled foods. And we've heard about a lot of that in the last month in regards to the cheese and the pickles and the yogurt and things like that. We also know that blue-green algae, such as spirulina, is basically inorganic substances such as salt, baking soda, and cream of tartar are used to preserve for chemicals after an ingredient. And basically, they chemically do that. We also know that plants are basically eaten as food. And there's around 2,000 different varieties of plant species which are cultivated for food, and many have several distinct cultivars. Now, this is something that didn't make sense to me, but it does now, and that the seeds of plants are a good source of food for animals, including humans because they contain the nutrient necessary for the plant's initial growth, including many helpful fats such as omega fats. In fact, the majority of foods consumed by human beings are seed-based foods. Edible seeds that we indulge in, of course, are wheat and rice and maize, etc. We also legumes such as beans, peas, lentils, etc., and nuts. And oil seeds are often pressed to produce rich oils, and we know about them as far as flax seeds, sesame seeds, all those other types of that are out there, and they just press them or cold press them and produce oils that we utilize either cold or we utilize them for cooking by heating them up, and those all basically come from seeds. And seeds are typically high in unsaturated fats, and of course in moderation. Now this is the key about fats, because in most fats the calorie content is very high. And that's why it says, and in moderation are considered the health food, although not all seeds are edible. And for instance, like a large seed of a lemon poses a choking hazard, while seeds from apples and cherries contain a poison called cyanide. And when I heard that and read that, I thought, oh my gosh, I hope people that are either juicing or using the anything that has a seed in it, like apples in regards to their smoothies, that I hope they're getting rid of those seeds, because like it says here in this article, that those seeds of the apples and the cherries do contain cyanide. And fruits, basically, are ripened ovaries of plants, including the seeds within. And many plants have evolved in regards to the fruits that are attractive as a food source to animals. So that animals, and I kind of realize this around the farm here and everything else, so that animals will eat the fruits off the trees or off the ground or whatever, and then excrete the seeds some distance away. And it's kind of, you know, I realize how birds sometimes, they eat seeds and then they travel distances, and that's one way that basically I think a lot of the plants that we have originally originated is by the seed that were transformed in regards to animals and deer and anything else that eats fruit, and birds and everything else, to different areas of our country or of our just local localities. But fruits, therefore, make up a significant part of the diets of most cultures. Some botanical fruits, such as tomatoes, pumpkins, and eggplants, are eaten as vegetables. And of course, and vegetables are the second type of a plant that is commonly eaten as food, and we do eat a lot of those on this program. And these include root vegetables such as potatoes and carrots. Bulbs, of course, is the onion family. The leafy vegetables that we consume are things like spinach and lettuce and kale. Of course, then we have stem vegetables, which are like bamboo shoots and asparagus. I love my asparagus. And then there's the inflorescent vegetables such as artichokes, broccoli, and other vegetables such as cabbage or cauliflower. So that pretty much covers the plant side of things. And from there, we move to animals. And we know that animals are used in food either directly or indirectly by the products they produce. Meat is an example of a direct product taken from an animal, which comes from the muscle system or from the organs. Food products produced by animals, of course, include milk. And those come from the mammary glands of different animals, such as cows, goats, you know, sheep, anything that basically gives birth in the animal industry in most cases, that's how they are basically after birth. That is their main food source, and that is the milk that is produced through the mammary glands. Birds, as an example, we eat eggs that are lately eggs, which are often eaten. We know bees, they basically produce honey. A reduced nectar, and they get that from the reduced nectar of flowers, which is a popular sweetener in many cultures. And people, I know some of them on this call use honey, and there's other cultures that are use that as their main sweetener based upon how it is produced in their particular country. Some cultures even consume blood, sometime in the form of what we call blood sausage, and I've heard of that before. And they use it as a thickener for sauces or in a cured salted form from times of food scarcity, and others use blood in stews such as juggered hare, it's called. We also know that some cultures and people do not consume meat or animal food products for culture, dietary health, ethical or ideology reasons. Vegetarians, we know, do not consume meat. Vegans do not consume any foods that are contain ingredients of any animal source. So that's one thing that we found out, the difference between a vegetarian and a vegan, I guess. One of the other things that we get places we get our food, of course, and that is through production. You know, in other words, that meats are all, most foods are always been dominated through agriculture, and we know that particularly here in the eastern side of our state where they raise so much wheat, with basically increasing concern over both the methods and products of modern industry agriculture. There has been a growing trend towards sustainable agriculture practices. A lot of people do that in regards to things like organic farms, and this approach, partly fueled by consumer demand, encouraged biodiversity, farmers markets, reliance. Most influences on food production include international organizations like the World Trade Organizations and that sort of stuff. And as a matter of fact, in the old days, there's even been wars that were declared over basically food supplies. In other words, if they didn't have the proper food supply, they'd go to some other village or some other country, and they actually invade it for the purpose of nothing more than food. In popular culture, though, and we mass produce our food now, especially meat, such as chicken and beef, has come under fire from various documentaries, mostly from the, it's called Food.Inc., and documenting that. And we know that in the culture, Westerns have had an increasing trend towards the use of herbal supplements, foods for a specific group of persons. So, you know, we have foods for dieters, we have foods for women, we have foods for athletes. You know, Nikan even has our multivitamin is for men and one is for women, because the needs of each particular species, I guess I'll say, has different needs for men and women. So there have been several organizations have been calling for a new kind of agriculture. And I've heard of this a lot, and that's agrosystems that provide food but also support vital ecosystems, services, so that we have better soil. You know, here on the farm, when we were raising cattle, one of the things that we did, we what's called rotate our pastures. In other words, we'd put up, we had the out surrounding fence, and then we cut them off, those fields off in sections. And then we'd only let the cattle run on those sections for like 3 or 4 days, or until they got down to a specific height, and then we moved them to another section. And then we moved, like we might have 7 sections in one field, but we did that for the purpose of allowing the grass to grow back instead of being eaten all the way down to the dirt. And then pretty soon you don't have, because when cows ingest grass, they pull up the roots and everything else in a lot of cases, and the closer that grass is to the ground, the more they pull up that, and horses and sheep, most animals do that. So that's something that I know we did here on the farm when we were raising cattle. The other thing that we have in food is taste perception. In other words, animals, specifically humans, have 5 different types of taste. We have sweet taste, we have a sour taste, we have a salty taste, a bitter taste, and Doug, if you're there, we have what's called umami. Did I pronounce that right? It's a Japanese term. It's spelled U-M-A-M-I, umami, the way I look at it. And as animals have come around, we have different tastes, too, in that they provide most energy. That's sugars and fats. Isn't it amazing how we've understood now that sugar is basically very, very addictive to our bodies and the problems that we have from eating those particular type of things? We also know that certain fats now are not beneficial to our bodies. And so the nice thing such is that even our water, basically, in different areas has different tastes, even has taste. And then we have a sweet taste, generally regarded as the most pleasant taste. Sweetness is almost always caused by the type of simple sugar such as glucose or fructose. And we're learning here that that fructose on this call, and basically I've seen some articles in the news that they're talking now about fructose corn syrup and how bad that the medical field is now starting to understand how that is not very, very good at all for any of us. And now they're even starting to understand that. And I guess, you know, of course, we have our carbohydrates, which are basically complex carbohydrates or long chains, fatty acids, and thus do not have the sweet taste. Artificial sweeteners, such as sucrose, are used to mimic the sugar modulator. You know, somebody in this call had talked about how that they even have chemists now, that they're even going out and tasting different, doing different chemicals and utilizing them for taste to put in our food, so it'll either give us a sweeter type food or it'll give us a particular flavor, and it isn't coming from natural sources that we would put in food. It's basically now coming from chemicals. And I just, when I really stop and think about those kind of things, I just want to just, sometimes I'll use a, well, whatever, I won't use the word throw up, but I'll, you know what I mean, that all the stuff that I think now is in our food that we, that the average American ingests into their bodies, and then we wonder why they have what they have. And of course we have sour tastes in certain foods, and of course sour is caused by the taste of acids, such as vinegar and alcohol beverages. Sour foods include citrus, specifically lemons and limes, and to a lesser degree oranges. Sour is evolutionarily significant, as it is a sign for the food that may have gone rancid due to bacteria. Many foods, however, are slightly acidic and help stimulate the taste buds and enhance flavor. We certainly understand the acidic value of foods in our chart that we have for acid and alkaline type foods, and we're realizing that acid type foods can create certain diseases in our body. We also know that alkaline foods are better, and the more our body is alkaline, the less diseases we might come down with. The more the acidic our body is based upon the foods that we eat, and that sometimes is the main cause of what our body is, either acid or alkaline, is because, again, of the food we eat. Now we have, then we have salty. That's another taste. The saltiness is a taste of alkaline metal ions such as sodium and potassium. It is found in almost every food in low to moderate proportion to enhance flavor. You know, although to eat pure salt is regarded as highly unpleasant. Now, I don't know if I agree with that statement or not, pure salt, because to me, pure salt is like real salt, which is mined from the ground, rather than salt, which a lot of us eat, which come from lakes, and they just dehydrate the water and use the salt that we normally, what I call table salt, that we put on there. There are many different types of salt, of course, which have a different range of saltines, including sea salt, kosher salt, mine salt, and gray salt. Other than enhancing flavor, it's significant to the body needs and maintains the delicate electrolyte balance. And I know that electrolytes are very important in our bodies because of the simple fact if we don't have electrolytes, we can't, our body doesn't function properly, and it does need salt. And salt is one of the major things which allow, hope I say this right, conduction in regards to our nerves fire off electrical impulses. So if we, in my opinion, which I, it's mine, that if we don't have the proper amount of salt in our bodies, and that we don't get the proper functioning of our nerve cells and that we need. Of course, salt may be iodized. We've heard about that a lot, how they started realizing that most of the population in the United States and countries were deficient of iodine, so manufacturers of salt started to put iodine into salt, so you can get your salt with iodine or without iodine, whatever you particular believe. We also have a bitter taste that's important in food. The bitterness is a sensation often considered unpleasant characteristic by having a sharp, pungent taste. Dark, unsweetened chocolate, caffeine, lemon rind, and some types of fruits are known to be very, very bitter. And I know that to be very, very true. Now, this other word, this umami that I talked about, is also a taste, but it's the Japanese word for delicious. It's the least known in the Western popular culture, but has a long tradition in Asian cuisine. Unfortunately, though, that umami is the taste of glutamates, specifically MSG, monosodium glutamate, or NSG as we know it. So it's characterized as a savory, meaty, and rich in flavor, and that's the reason that a lot of manufacturers utilize it, is because it gives a better taste into the body, or that our we taste in our mouth, which is very, very pleasant for us. So that's all I've got to talk about food today. Does anybody have any comments or any suggestions in regards to that?
Well, I just, I don't know how many people live near Marlene's Market in Tacoma, but since you're talking about food, this Tuesday at 7 p.m., or January 8th at 7 p.m., someone from the Gerson Therapy, people are going to give a free discussion history, case histories, you know, protocols for dealing with all chronic diseases with just food. And their whole thinking, Dr. Gerson, Max Gerson, his whole thinking had to do with utilizing food for healing. And anyway, if people have an interest in that, it's pretty rare. This is the first certified nutritional coach that I've ever heard of in this in the state of Washington. So apparently it's spread up to there or whatever. Anyway, I thought I'd let people know if they want to come and learn something about just eating food to change things.
What's the date on that again?
It's January 8th at 7 p.m. And it's Marlene. You can Google her. They have it in several different, they're having it in several different places, but if you Google Marlenes, you'll get to a website, and they, I don't know, Federal Way and Seattle and I don't know where else.
Are you talking, you're talking about the one on 38th Street, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I've been there.
Yes. Yes, and they have, you know, organic juices there. You know, if you, you could go, you could eat, have some nice organic juices and listen to good stuff.
I figured you'd say something about juicy when it came to food.
Well, yeah, you know, and that's interesting. Then maybe I will do something on juicing. That's interesting.
Sure, it would be. You know, I think a lot of people, I think the interest is there for some people on this call in regards to juicing, so it might be something we think about down the road.
Yeah.
Well, this is Mary Lou. Oh, boy, I would encourage, if I lived there, I would be going to that meeting that you're talking about, Joan.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if many of you on the call know, but Larry's cousin went to that Gerson clinic when University of Washington had given her 6 to 9 months to live with treatment in the University of Washington Hospital, but she went to the Gerson Clinic and got 20 years.
Wow, that's wonderful. What did she What did she have?
She had, I don't know, a huge tumor in her stomach area, about the size of a cantaloupe.
Yeah.
And, eventually, it came back. But when I talked to her about it, she said, "You know, Mary Lou, I got careless." And so she had fallen back to her bad habits, and but she it saved her life. I mean, for 20 years, imagine, she got to see her kids married, her grandkids born. What a difference! So
yeah.
I would definitely be there.
Yeah, my dental hygienist is in year 3. She had breast cancer, and when they did a CT scan, it had metastasized.
Oh my.
And she's in year 3, and she took Gerson. She's taking Gerson. She just went to the normal protocol, you know, the normal. Maybe I should do that, because I could tell you what a normal protocol is, and you could know how important it is to, among other things, take the green drink. Okay, the one substitute, processed or whatever substitute for juicing the green juice that the Gersons.
Gerson's, well, Joan,
treatment.
See that you're going to this thing for sure, are you?
Yes.
Why don't, this is just a suggestion, but maybe just give us some thought, maybe on next Friday you can tell us a little bit about what you experienced there and what you learned. Would that sound okay?
Okay, I guess, okay. I can't believe it. Oh, no. Yes, all right.
I'll still do some talking about food, but maybe you can...
Excellent. Excellent. Okay, with a backup, with a, you know, with a...
But working as a team, how does that sound?
Right, because I only have one idea at a time in my brain, you know, and I, you know, the idea of doing, you know, 30 minutes just freaks me out.
That's okay, but I think going to this would be information that I think, like Mary Lou said, if she was here, she would definitely, maybe you could do a summary in regards to what you learned on the 8th, if some of us can't make it. Okay.
Okay.
Now that I look at the calendar, I have a wellness preview that I have to be at, and sleeping in Seattle, so I won't be able to get there, darn it, but that's the
way. Oh, Monty, I would have met you. Okay.
I would have to tell you, you know, you don't never, you've never seen me before, so I'm 6'4", very thin, muscular, you know, just...
Yeah, well, I'm 3'10", and I weigh 500, no, I'm kidding. I'm not going to say, okay.
I'd appreciate, I guess the one thing I could say to wrap this call up is that we all know that food is very, very important to our bodies. The food that we ingest is normally what we become. I've heard they say that what you eat is what you are. And I find that to be true. I also found out through food, through this program and everything else, is that, you know, normally if we have weight problems, it's probably because of the food that we ate too much, and we need to cut back, and we need to get in the more proper alkaline-type foods, more so than acidic. So I think foods is a very, very subject that we all indulge in on a daily basis. I just think we need to be a little bit more aware of some of the types of foods that we do eat, understanding that that's how we do get our energy, though, and that's how our body fights off diseases. And Gers, this lady that's going to be talking, or whoever's going to be talking, and Marlene's definitely, and I totally believe that food can cure if we eat the proper foods, because over the years, some of the books I've read in regards to the China study and different cult and these different people that have to deal with heart, how they've taken people with heart problems and basically solved it. We just heard what Mary Lou had to say about that individual in regards to the tumor and gave her a good longer life so she can enjoy her grandchildren. And I think that's what this call is all about, for helping us, each and every one of us, to maintain our health as best as we can maintain it and be excited about it, know that we're headed in the right terms. So I'm going to go ahead at 7:30 and wrap this call, unless anybody's got any quick suggestions you'd like to say or anything about...
Excellent call. Excellent. Yeah.
Okay, well, Mary Lou now is going to be with us on Monday. She's going to be talking about toxins, and so we'll be excited to be here, Mary Lou, and every one of you go out and have a great weekend, and we'll hear you or see you somewhere down the road. Have a good one.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Good job. To learn more about NECAM, we encourage you to contact the person who suggested you listen to this information.